Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 302. The whole gang's back.
Woo!
So, yeah, nobody cared, apparently. That's okay.
I care.
Do you care, Josh?
Yeah, I was just chewing my bell.
Okay.
It's a euphemism.
It is not. I was trying to figure out how you were going to turn it into one. But.
No, perv.
What were you thinking of, Colin? We're waiting because we don't
So, I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Spencer.
The whole crew is here.
And so, this is a special day, right?
This is a very special day.
One of our podcasters is celebrating a birthday today.
I couldn't be happier than to be... my birthday at the podcast.
You almost said that without laughing.
Almost.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you very
much. Happy birthday, Dave.
Well, yeah, that was exciting.
Jeez,
thank you,
Droopy.
I said it earlier.
We're talking about it.
Not
now.
Happy birthday, Dave. Glad you not.
Why
did
you think
not
of Dave though?
What?
Because Colin doesn't say it. You give Dave a really lackluster happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Jeez, you were over here.
Man, it'll be okay.
It
Dave,
will be.
Dave knew. He knows that.
So. Dave knows lots of things.
Coming up on his big day.
That was Bo.
Yeah, Bo knows.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's going way
yeah,
back.
Man.
That's what, 93, something like that? Yeah.
Was it that late?
Maybe not.
I thought it was earlier than that.
Yeah, it was early 90s.
Okay.
I mean, he was a rookie in 87. Yeah, maybe it was. That was like maybe 90 at the latest.
Could be. I picked a number at random, so.
Regardless, it was over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
The people listening don't even have a clue what you're talking about because they're all young pups.
You think we have teenagers listen to this podcast?
You think young people listen to this?
You are drastically mistaken about your demographics here.
If you said, like, old people listen to this, we'd be like, you think old people
listen to this? Because they can't change the
Although
channel.
You did have a young customer here earlier who seemed very knowledgeable about his...
Punisher?
Current comics?
Oh.
No, not.
I had to look it up. 1989, Major League All-Star Game, Baseball All-Star Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, 89. Okay. We were all wrong.
Well,
if it was Price is Right, you'd have been wrong. You'd have been out. No showcase.
You were over.
For you.
Wrong. You're over.
Yeah. If you said 88, you'd have won.
Sorry, Pat.
No whammies. Stop. I like that show better.
The old version, where you could cheat.
There's a new version?
Yeah, where it was all computerized.
It
so,
was whammy instead of press your luck.
F that.
Yeah. That's what I said, too.
I mean, the whammies were the best part of the shows. I could see when it put out a show that just focused on the whammies, but still.
But I don't know what I like more.
I like the speed that they gave to the players. So they were excited before when they were out there because nobody was that excited about anything. Those guys were all excited.
If you are press your luck and about to win a bunch of money.
They were beyond excited.
Coke. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
Tim was right. But, see, I don't know if I enjoyed the animations more or the fact that people just, like, got deflated. All those cash and prizes, gone.
Did you ever hear about the guy who memorized the pattern?
What?
Yeah.
There's a documentary.
There's a documentary for everything.
No, a guy, he like...
What's the name of that documentary? Do you know? I'll look it up.
He like videotaped...
You've been whammied.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's something else.
Yeah, he videotaped the show. And was... He learned the timing so that he could
stop. What's the name of Colin's sex tape? No whammies, stop!
Guess that's better than pressure luck.
I'm sorry, Cole, but it all just kind of worked. So, comic book podcast, that's cool. Pat, any news?
Not really. Guardians is canceled.
The movie, Guardians 3. Whoa.
Oh, well.
That's the one thing that won't get canceled. That actually makes Marvel money.
No, it's not so much it got canceled, but it ended. And
after four issues?
It's getting reformed.
Well, yes, after four issues, but now it's being reconfigured into... Oh, sorry.
Something.
Reconfigured into...
Classified.
Infinity Countdown Prime number one, Classified.
It's Classified.
It's very Classified. It does have a Hulk variant cover by Marcos Martin and a trading card variant cover by John Tyler Christopher.
I will say I'd like to see that.
I can tell you it's going to be 40 pages. It's a one shot. It's rated T plus and it's $4.99. How many would you like?
If you don't say at least 50, you won't get that special cover.
That's right. You probably
the only
can't
thing that's selling me on that right now is that Marcos Martin.
But it's a Hulk variant cover.
How's it selling you? All it says is Classified on a Starfield.
Wait.
I'm sold on all of his work.
Oh, we don't even get to see the Hulk variant cover. But, and there's also an Infinity Countdown Adam Warlock number one, which is, I'm sure, all leading up to their free comic book day, whatever it is.
Where's that character been in Marvel?
Adam Warlock?
That's why he's coming back.
He's not dead.
He's coming back in Guardians 150, yeah. Which is the last run of the current run, and then as Tim said, then I'm sure we won't get another number one out of this. So,
legacy.
Yeah,
he was on the pizza.
Yeah.
Stop to a piece of cheese.
Are you miming? Miming doesn't really work well for a podcast.
Just for these guys.
Oh, okay.
We yeah.
It was the pizza motion.
It was for us, Colin. You can't tell them everything.
He was signing.
Pat verbalized the pizza, and I was visualizing it.
Without the pizza.
No. This isn't mime. Mime doesn't use actual props. They have used pretend props.
So you admit to miming. And I said miming on a podcast wasn't good. That was my whole point.
But my mime was for them, not for the listeners at home.
Fair enough. I'm sorry. Continue, Pat. That wasn't miming.
Mime that, Colin.
Oh, here, let me do it in a proper mime.
And that also works with the Guardians of the Galaxy motif. That's broken.
You couldn't see that because you were trapped in a box.
So. That's right.
You're full of rope.
I'm getting this all mime.
Adam's like
Pittsburgh Mimecast.
You wish you guys could see this. I tell you. Who knew they were?
So. This was funny. Yesterday, just putting something on the TV, and I was looking on Hulu, and the new Barbarella book came out today. So I'm flipping through, and on Hulu movies, just looking. There's Barbarella, rated PG. Awesome. I put it
back
on.
Back in the 70s, PG had
movies. I put it on. And I'm kind of, it's going along. Beginning's a little odd. All of a sudden, you know, mom and her young child come in, and they're just looking around. And it's still during the opening credits, and all of a sudden I look over, and there she is completely naked. Not seeing anything, but clearly naked. You know, side hip, you know. And I'm like, ah! So I go to pause it, so it won't go beyond that. The name that's on the screen during the credits, Marcel Marceau. And I'm like, oh, well, now I'm really intrigued how that Marcel Marceau is in this movie. But so now I need to go back and watch it. But so just tying into the mime thing.
Yeah.
I was getting there.
You found something to tie into that. That's pretty good. There.
And to my pick of the week that I didn't read yet, but Barbara. So.
Because, you know, Airplane was actually rated PG, if you've ever seen Airplane.
Yeah, it just, I wasn't expecting MASH. Nudity. That was
awesome. MASH movie. MASH, you're right, and that was the first mainstream movie to drop the F-bomb.
I was watching at one point in time, and my dad was like, are you sure that's okay to watch? I was like, rated PG. Okay.
Well, then again, I was talking about it.
There's a lot of stuff in there that would not fly today. No.
But then stuff like Midnight Cowboy was rated X, but there's nothing in there to be...
No,
it's almost PG by today's standards.
PG-13. But
not
yeah.
X. What does that say about us as... No, I'm kidding.
Do you want to have that podcast?
No.
You know what I don't understand.
Why is it?
Funk that.
That's right.
So
no other news?
Nope, sorry.
Hmm.
I work now, so. And I don't go on Bleeding Cool on purpose.
I can understand that.
Now that Pat has a job again, I think it's time for you to get back to being the newsboy.
Give it to Adam.
I didn't see see a lot of news this week either with comics.
He's even got the Newsboy cap.
Right? That's where I was going.
That's true.
Wrestling legend Ric Flair will call you on the phone if you give him $100 right now.
Hmm.
I'm bleeding cool.
I think so will Sonny, but she'll show her boobs. She'll FaceTime you. No.
I'd rather see Ric Flair's boobs.
Woo!
So about that sandwich.
And that's basically the phone call. You can't just
You know what, though, for $100, that might be worth it.
Yeah.
This podcast has gotten off to a rocky start, so we'll jump in on questions. How about that?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know you questions. Call out.
We did get questions. Question asking for
what the hell are you guys doing?
Our yearly best of. We'll get to that.
We've got a few weeks left on that.
Yeah, yeah. And then Zach asked a couple questions and then chided me for asking for more questions after he sent an unsolicited question.
One question does not a podcast make.
True. Well, we only have one. I'm sorry, Pat. I'll come up with one after this.
And then you lost it.
Okay, no, they're just in the wrong order. I'm like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Okay. It says, question for the week, and kind of goes back to the previous one. Say I've become a fan of superheroes through the movies, and that's all the knowledge I have about them. And now I want to start reading comics. Which comics would be my first ones based on DC and Marvel films that are out there?
There's no direct correlation on any of them.
No.
I mean, like, if you take Planet Hulk, that's a lot of
Thor.
Really?
No, but let's say you like Thor. Would you start him on, like, Aaron's run of Thor? That would probably be pretty safe. The God Bomb, I think that's pretty understandable.
Yeah.
You don't need a lot going into that. Because his follow-up to that was, would you recommend to me the Lady Thor comics as someone that only knows Thor through the movies, or would you show me the older series by Jason Aaron? I would go with the older series. I would almost go one that I liked just as much was the Straczynski run. I thought that run on Thor was really good as a way of reintroducing all the characters.
I think the other problem is if you only know Thor from the movies, that take the Jane Foster Thor book. Wait a second. How the hell did she become Thor? None of this makes any sense. Why doesn't he have the hammer?
Yeah.
That's unsweetened, isn't it?
I feel like a lot of what you should go back to and read if you're into the movies is go back to where
not a problem,
all these characters right before
that's what I'm
mind
killing the whole bottle. It's,
because that's kind of a lot of those about 10 years ago is what they kind of based some of these movies on, like, you know, Winter Soldier or Planet Hulk or...
Well, Civil War.
War, you know, all of that is from that last, you know, even further than 10 years now.
I think we even talked about that before, you know, Civil War is kind of a safe bet.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to know a whole lot going
especially
into
it. Especially with
Marvel. With DC, again, there's probably no direct correlation, but... If you start with anything at Rebirth, or if you want to go back to, you know, New
52,
go back to anything at the beginning of New 52, you'd be pretty safe because they were essentially reboots.
With DC, you know, again, it depends on, like, the character you're going for, but if you're going for, like, Green Lantern, I'd say, like, the beginning of the Geoff Johns run, like, would be a good starting point. That was a good starting point for me for Green Lantern.
You almost
there's
have
no
to.
Movie. For that, that's
no, but I don't. A lot
like really,
of that,
the only characters you're jumping into based on the movies,
Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, and
I mean, I guess you could say Flash and Aquaman and Cyborg, but you don't have a ton of them in the movies.
Well, and as you said, there's nothing really close.
Yeah, there's no real
to
direct
the
correlation, you know, because the other thing is, if you say, you know, well, you had Batman versus Superman, go to the Dark Knight. No, that is not a good start. Point for anybody.
No.
It's a dated book.
I'm not sure exactly.
But if you wanted to, like, if you like the Flash from the movie, I could recommend going back to the Manapul and Buccellato run of Flash from New 52, because that was still like sort of early in his career. So it kind of relates to him in the movie where he just now starts, you know, with the CSI and
right. And if you go back earlier, you're either dealing with like Geoff Johns' first Rebirth, or you're dealing with Wally West or Bart Allen,
because
confusing.
Barry Allen was gone for so long.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You would just confuse people.
That would be tough to...
And the Buccellato and Manapul run was good.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I like the art in that.
The art was fantastic.
Especially the panel.
The page layouts were gorgeous. Yeah. Very, very,
very
creative,
much
very
set up
innovative.
For the Flash. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah,
I liked the Swamp Thing.
A lot of
thing.
Movement.
Swamp
Thing. Oh, Swamp Thing's page layouts were
beautiful.
Yeah, Yannick Paquette, the way he made it look very organic and
yeah.
and made the panels look like plant life almost.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really good. But no, I guess it's kind of tough to kind of choose a point. It's almost like you kind of have to get into more of a character than get into a plot that you might have seen in a movie. Like,
well,
and then see if you like that character,
looking for
maybe
a plot they saw
in
the movie, maybe just a version of a character they saw in the movie.
Well, yeah, that's why, yeah,
well,
something like that.
With Iron Man, I think you're safe with Fraction's run, although I think that's now out of print.
Well,
even Bendis'
even
run would probably be okay.
Even Fraction's run would be tough because it kind of leads out of an event. Because that was when him taking over as head of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then he had to erase his brain and that whole plot. That Fraction run was about him deleting his brain and putting it on a hard drive.
Is that the first arc?
Yeah.
Okay.
Around that. It was, I think, I gotta think about that, because I think Fraction was writing around the same time that, around the same time he started off. But there were a bunch of books at that time, because remember there was Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D., and there was Invincible Iron Man. Or was it the
same
book?
That was after
that. Or, yeah, so it wasn't part of that run then. So yeah, it must have been just that. And then it started to go in the Fear itself. That's when it kind of lost me.
Batman, Superman, they're really... See, if you just enjoyed the way they were portrayed, there is no direct correlation, because Batman doesn't, you know, use machine guns to mow down criminals in his books, and
yeah.
Superman is not that moody in his books.
Yeah.
In New 52, he was.
Yeah, in New 52, he was a little more moody.
But
than,
he was more moody, but not to that
not,
level.
Not Man of Steel moody, no, probably.
I don't know. I feel like he was pretty moody. He left the day of the planet. He was working on his own little blog. Got a motorcycle.
Lost his powers.
He's wearing dungarees.
That does sound pretty moody, actually.
Ripped his cape up and just made it into, like, little hand wraps.
Yeah.
Like he was, you know, starting to practice his Muay Thai.
You gotta dip them in glass first.
M&M's.
Ah.
Hot Shots part
his,
two.
His cape's pretty tough.
It's been years since I've seen that.
Charlie Sheen, yeah. Like, dips his hands like the hot caramel, and then it's, like, M&M's and marshmallows. I do like the movie. It was referencing that too. It was
Kickboxer.
Yeah.
The guy that played Tong Po was the guy in Bloodsport that got his leg broken.
Yeah. Bloodsport's a great movie too.
So what other questions do we have?
Just could we do a Twitter or Facebook website poll for next month's book club? Maybe have the guys nominate some books on the cast and put it to a vote. I just picked Taffy because it was a timed with Christmas and the TV show.
Yeah.
And it's also a $12.99 book. So.
I don't think...
It is a quick read.
Yeah.
I don't think the nominations should just come from us, though. It should be the book club, like
yeah.
as a whole. For the month after, happy.
Mm-hmm. Shirtless Bear Fighter.
Start a new way of doing it for the new year. Makes sense.
Put a page on the website for book club and have like a section to
nominate.
Comment with.
Yep, or we could do a poll on the website. We can do a Twitter poll.
I think the problem is, I mean, how many.
Sounds like you really know how to work a poll.
Not coming out of my mouth. You said it several times.
Just saying, you're talking a lot about polls right now. Going back like 130 episodes of the podcast, the deep cut.
Sometimes you're going to bring back the classics.
The poll goes deeper. You know, you can make the frowny face and shake your head, but if I sat here and ran through all these different polls, you would have made the same comment towards me. So don't even act like you're all, you know, upset about it.
You had to take it to another level.
You would have.
You would have took that poll to that.
That's how you take it to another level.
So, no more questions.
That was fun.
Nope, no more questions.
I got a question.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
A live question? Yeah, live I don't question. Know about this. Uh-oh.
So, with a lot of, like, how we got the Batman and Ninja Turtle crossover this week, a lot of us here at the table like Valiant, so what kind of properties would you think you like Valiant to if they were ever to cross over with something else?
We already,
did we do something like that?
That issue of Aerosmith crossing over with, Shadow Man, so, I mean, that's enough.
And that recent one.
The Raid is
Stremarid.
So, like, seeing other properties?
Shadow Man.
Yeah.
See an Archer and Armstrong.
I don't think I want to see a crossover. I like Archie and Jughead. The contained universe.
Yeah.
Andy Cap. He's a drunk.
I mean, it's like. Like. Almost like an Elseworlds.
Fred and
type
Barney,
story.
Archie.
Yeah, it doesn't have
Archer
like.
And Armstrong.
Like
I think I just wrote it right
like
there.
Batman with like.
Though that's Hanna-Barbera.
Like Ninja.
That's okay. Yeah. Mark Russell writing it.
I wouldn't mind seeing it crossover with an Image property.
Yeah.
Something that wouldn't seem so like.
Even some sort of match. Maybe it involves death.
I wasn't even thinking about the death match, but yeah, you're right. You are right, that was
more
a crossover.
Between
I was thinking
Valiant
like,
and Image.
I know. Yeah, you're absolutely
first
right.
Appearance of? In blue?
Toucan Sam, I don't know.
I don't know.
Gen 13.
Oh.
No, there you go.
I know things.
Like also, you could have like, just throwing this out there, Paper Girls crossover somehow with Valiant, and it wouldn't seem totally out of place.
I'm sure it was on a cereal box.
Maybe
Negan
a weird
shows
thing
up
happening up in
Fruit Loops 1.
Fruit Loops number 1.
1943.
Oh, snap, he's right.
Why doesn't he get the frowny face and shaking your head?
He does
the look
on
of disdain. It's worse.
Oh.
Mm. Oh, Frank.
Okay, XO Iron Man, that's
Barry.
An easy one.
Oh.
Frankenberry. That was later. That was in the 50s.
They did the
Crisis on Cereal
XO Iron Man tribute cover.
Okay.
On XO, I forget which issue it was, but he was had XO Man of War, like with a demon in a bottle cover.
Bloodshot Punisher.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Faith Squirrel Girl.
No, shut up.
Okay.
No, that's ridiculous. This is over. We're done.
Too far. I'd really like to see Blade and Count Chocula.
Mm, that would be cool.
I'd be willing to give you like a
what other cereal mascots can we think of? That's my question.
Gwenpool?
No, not Gwenpool.
Gwenpool and Woody?
Captain Crunch, Captain America?
Oh, can I give a shout out on the podcast right now? Is that okay? I would like to give a shout out to Jermaine at Acme Comics.
Oh, yeah.
After last week's podcast, when I was speaking about the Starfire statue with the parts that felt like they were following me around as I walked through the store, he decided to contact Colin and give the statue a new home, and I greatly appreciate it.
Because you now don't have to see it anymore.
You feel better now? Like.
Well, I came in the other day, and I saw it behind the counter. I was like, what's that doing behind the counter? And then Tim told me, he's like, oh, you didn't know. Jermaine bought it after he heard the podcast.
Wouldn't that be funny if he just bought it because he was like, he sounded just so angry on the podcast about this. I just had to get it out of there for this guy. And if he did, good.
So yeah. Starfire's found a home with Lord Retail.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you have a fancy comic book name?
It's Comic Man.
That's true.
Comic McMahon?
No.
I like that
man
better.
Is
I'm
my,
sorry.
My,
I like
my
that
my old
better.
EOL.
Comic McMahon.
Is my old AOL screen name.
Goodbye.
It would have been even cooler if you'd have done, like, the logging one.
You're a professional. You should be able to. Are you trained?
I should go do the mouth modem sounds.
Yeah. Ain't on.
Yeah. Isn't that the first thing you learn?
Yeah, exactly.
Modems don't sound like donkeys.
Modems in that day.
Kids these days will never know those fun sounds.
Look at that donkey transferring the bits back and forth.
That's actually what the first modems were pretty much.
Imagine that.
throw a couple bites on there. Make it more efficient.
He'll get it there eventually. Yee-haw.
That's how IAMs worked. Someone write the message down, put it in a donkey's little satchel, it would run it to the next person.
That's how you used to send out some messages. Mm-hmm. Oh. They got it eventually.
That's so instant.
It was instant.
You called him on the phone to tell him it was on its way. Or
what? Why didn't you just tell me over the phone? Yeah, that would defeat the point of the instant message.
But
now,
the donkey,
it?
What are we going
to do? It's already a nude.
What is he supposed to do?
What if you mishear me? This way you can read the message.
Yeah. You got it there.
Speaking of reading things, Adam, did you read anything last week?
On that
note. You like that segue? That was
good.
Pretty,
that was good.
Pretty
that
smooth,
was really
yeah.
good. I like that thing. You're nothing if not smooth, Josh.
You're smooth.
I see the wife doesn't listen to the podcast.
The listeners don't need to know that.
It's his own business.
Your dad
he's locking us in. Batman, Creature of the Night.
That was good, but man, that
yeah, I agree.
Those text boxes that got was a little hard to read after a while.
Yeah. Really good story though. About this kid who's really into Batman growing up, and he has
Bruce Wayne,
a lot
right.
of very similar things happen with him that it's almost creepy that he was in the Batman.
Yeah, at some point it was a little on the nose. But
especially with the, like, I could have just went with, like, the Uncle Alfred. I could have just went with, his name was kind of similar. It didn't have to be, he was called Alfred because of two names. You know, yeah. Sometimes you didn't have to do that. We
well, no, I think
we would have had the similarity that, he, you know, because his parents didn't have the, they weren't, you know,
it's Carol.
Martha yeah. and, What's his father's name? Why am I forgetting?
Thomas
Wayne.
Get out of here.
But it was good. It was a fun read. Not a fun read. It was sad, actually.
Depressing. Yeah. Actually,
I love watching books where kids' parents get killed in front of them.
Yeah,
it's something about
he,
that.
He did better for himself. Yeah.
Not but, really.
No?
No, not so much. Because he's not a billionaire.
He now controls like a
Uncle Alfred
would
let him move, would let him live with him.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
It's not even that he didn't want him to live with him. It's he couldn't. He thought it would be better off for him to do what he needed to
well,
do.
Well, no, he said the no, court some wouldn't let him
yeah.
do it.
Well, yeah,
that was the excuse he gave to the kid.
You
yeah,
mean
I think there's something else?
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're naive.
You mean because of the.
There's something else going on.
I get you. Okay. I'm
pretty sure, at least.
You mean because of the introduction at the movie theater?
Just all of it. Just the way he was telling it made it sound like there was some other thing at play that...
Yeah.
That wasn't. Okay.
Yeah, but this was one of four, not...
Yeah.
If you guys... I really liked it, too. I read that. It's kind of a sequel to Superman's Secret Identity. If you guys...
Mm-mm. No, I've never read that.
It's really good. It's about a kid whose name is Clark Kent, mm-hmm. and he discovers, in the real world, like this, like Creature of the Night, and he discovers he has Superman powers.
Huh.
And, you know, he grew up loving Superman.
Was he an alien? Or?
No.
Okay, so they didn't go that far. Okay.
It takes place in as real of a world as you can get.
Yeah, Tim
like
brought it up, too, about
Creature
the
Night, but
the
it's
book, because it has the same writer.
It's Kurt Busiek.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
he was trying to figure out if it had the same creative team, but it didn't have the full creative
think,
team.
Yeah,
just
I think
Kurt
it's
Busiek.
A different artist.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I really like it.
But yeah, it was really good. But yeah, those cursive boxes were...
Oh, this was a strain in my eyes.
Just a little too much. Super Sons Annual. Did anybody read this? Super
you told me
I have it, but
I
haven't.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So a while back, they made an announcement
really
that there
good.
Was going to be a thing going on with Batcow doing some stuff. And this book was actually not necessarily about the Super Sons, but more about the Super Pets.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
I loved it. I just loved it. They had all of the, first of all...
Freaky was pissed at Crypto for some reason.
About, yeah. Well, they showed it. It was because of the fountain, the water fountain. he wouldn't dance in it while they were trying to drink out of it. They didn't like that.
May I ask a question? Because I don't know the background or origin.
Okay.
What's the deal with crypto? Like, where to...
He's I think they found him later on in the Phantom Zone, I believe. I know they did that with New 52, but I'm not positive with this.
So Krypton had normal dogs?
Yeah, that's what I don't get, because they don't have normal-looking
animals.
New 52
tried to fix that a little bit by saying that he could change his appearance.
Hmm.
So he could look like a more, human or earth dog.
It's like the wolf-looking thing made more sense to me than...
Yeah.
But in this, it's just, they had regular dogs. And dogs are just on every planet, it turns out.
So they found him in the Phantom Zone.
I know in that book they did, but they might have found him in something. I think it was the save him from the explosion, and then they kept him in there, and I think but I'm not sure if that's the original.
All right, we have this ability to save people, but we're only going to save this one dog.
This one dog.
Seems kind of short-sighted.
I think he was able to get in.
Why wouldn't they just use the Phantom Zone to save everyone?
I think in the comic...
That's a good point.
Yeah. I know Jor-El was, in charge of, Phantom Zone and him finding it and stuff like that. But I don't know. That's good for you.
Yeah. He just rather save his own pets. Put everybody in the Phantom Zone and then give somebody the Phantom Zone projector, blast them off.
We're all good.
Yeah.
Then use that ship and...
find a new home.
Here are the instructions.
And then here...
How to do it.
This is new Krypton.
Well, maybe because nobody would try to listen
saved
to
Krypton
him. He was just
on
like, screw him. They won't listen. Not gonna say.
What did Jor-El think of this? Oh well.
Yeah, every time I see Krypton, I'm like, where did this dog come from?
Yeah. He was basically during that time where everything was Batman had Batmite and all this, and everything was very
Ace
added
the Bat
characters
Hound.
Like this, and I think he just stuck around because, he's a classic DC character. So.
But instead of Ace the Bat Hound, it was Titus.
This time it was Titus. There's a few things I liked about this story. First of all, to give an idea of what this is about, dogs are being kidnapped.
By an alien.
Yeah. And the Crypto kind of sees this, while being at home. I think he reads that in the back of a newspaper or something like that. So he flies out the window and heads into Gotham to go get Titus. What's cool about this is that they fixed something that was bothering me about the Batman issue a while back, that they had Ace the Bat Hound, but they didn't have Titus. And I was just like, okay, is Titus gone? Is it just Ace? Well, they had both in this issue. So now there's two dogs living in there because they had two pillows there with them on it. He took Titus and
Ace was the older one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they take, he goes to talk, Crypto goes to talk to Bat-Cow. Bat-Cow has, his leash, the leash for Titus, and Titus puts it on, and that's how he carries him around. He holds the leash in his mouth and he flies around. So he has just carrying Titus around with him. To go get the band back together of the super pets. So he goes and finds Streaky in the park, which Streaky is mad at him, at Crypto. Or actually, they went to go see Detective Chimp.
Yes.
They went to Detective Chimp to talk to him and showed him, what was going on with this. And Detective Chimp just talks to him like normal. And, he says that, Streaky, I don't know if I'd talk to you after what you did to Streaky. And it's very dramatic. And then when they get to the park... She is very mad at him, starts fighting, but then they kind of break it up. Titus breaks it up because he's like, there's more important things to do. Look what's happening here. And all of this is really silent. There's barking and meowing, and that's about it.
Yeah.
It's all visual.
because actual talking dogs and chimps, that would just be ridiculous.
Well, the one chimp, he's fine. He's a detective.
I said chimps. S. plural.
Oh, got it.
We can have
just
one.
Just the regular S, yes. So he, or they've kind of put everybody, even the stretchy parrot, which I'm not familiar with.
The plastic man parrot. Yeah.
It just stretches all over the place. But they're able to figure out what's happening, and they track down that an alien is kidnapping all these dogs and taking them because he's mad because, he's actually trying to help them. He means well, because animals... he doesn't like the fact that they're being kept like pets. and they should be roaming around as much as they want and not on leashes and stuff. So that's why he's trying to save them. But they're just like, they're cool with it. They're fine. So he stops the alien. They go home and they leave all the dogs in the mansion for Damien and Jonathan to deal with when they get up in the morning. But it was good. It was a good issue dealing with all these animals that they've had that they haven't really been doing too much. But it was a fun annual, especially for this book, because Super Sons has just been a really fun, you know, book. So really good, though. War Mother.
I read that.
It was good. Nice conclusion to this story. She figures out more about the Montana and how it functions. And
apparently, the people that previously inhabited the Montana, like these two individuals who were human, had died, like, what, 1,000 years ago, it said? Something like that?
Yes.
And I guess the nanotechnology, like that you know, the fluid that was used to create those different, like, robotic figures we saw, was trying to find, like, someone worthy to essentially, like, inherit the Montana, and it was trying to find someone who matched the, like, creators who were humans, but the humans have changed so much because of the, you know, environment they're in that they didn't quite match the humans from 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So it deemed them as, you know, unworthy or...
almost like a virus.
Not human. So that's why it was attacking and trying to eradicate those people.
Yeah. The liquid, that was... Is that basically what those... what are they called? Positronics or whatever? Is that basically how they function as well?
The positronics in this book, not the positronics
not the
in...
the ones that were in...
Rye.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering that.
I think those ones are more like traditional robotics.
Okay. It was a good conclusion, and they kind of left it a little bit on a cliffhanger because one of the children finally told the secret that they were holding about.
We think.
Yeah. At least that's where they leave it.
But so she discovers that she can disrupt the positronics, like the fluid that's creating them, and then uses that on the building itself because she realizes the building is self-healing and rearranging itself.
Yeah.
So that's also just made of this fluid.
I thought that was really
fluid.
Cool. The fact that when they did deal with all of that, it just basically fell off.
Yeah,
the
when she finally like was able to deactivate it, it just completely melted away, and it was just the scaffolding there.
Yeah.
But they found like this orb or like this egg kind of thing that had another one of those sylvan creatures or sylvans inside of it. Like the guy that was controlling the grove and making the grove support the people that were living there previously. So they brought him back and they went back to the grove and we saw like the life come back to the grove and it started to flourish again.
Hi, Tim.
Happy birthday. Thank you, Tim.
It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Good beat. You could dance to it.
I'll leave it at that.
Batman Annual.
Yeah, that was crap.
Yeah, that one sucked.
I didn't laugh. I didn't cry. What was the point of it?
I
cried. So bad.
Yeah. So
this was a great issue.
Yeah, this was
crappy art.
Could you imagine if
both artists in it were crappy?
Tom King was like listening to this just to that point. He was like, I'll forget them.
That would be awful.
I was going to call in. These guys
Tom, we love you.
It's too late. You
guys suck.
Yeah, I was surprised when I saw that Michael Lark was doing art for a small portion of it. I like him on Lazarus.
Mm. Welcome back, Tim.
When I saw the credits, I assumed it was like a backup. I was surprised to see like it actually was transitioned.
Yeah, I was actually surprised though for the annual, the whole issue was just the one story. That's because usually it's
two or three stories.
What was the other story?
Clark stuff at the end, the old Batman.
But that was part of
that
the
was all
that
part.
Right, but
it was
all
the same story.
Oh, well, see, I took the artist shift, meaning
I took it as
all a continuation of the
story.
Same story.
Oh, see, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was Earth 2, because on Earth 2, Helena is the daughter of...
I didn't take that either.
Batman, I didn't know. I took that as...
I didn't take it as Earth 2, though.
Oh, see, I took the end part
I took
Earth
it as
2.
At some point after they get married, they have a daughter named Helena.
Oh, okay.
It's just it's like catching up with Earth
too. Okay, yeah. See, I took that second part as Earth too.
Okay.
Only because of that.
Okay. Which I think this is. I think it's cool though that they are the being that they're getting together. We do have a possibility that they could have a child, and then we could have her in the.
Although her costume was not Huntress, it was very much Batwoman. Yeah.
Well, because Batwoman's going to go bad at some point, ditch the costume.
Well, I don't think at any point they said she went bad.
Oh, we're going to, yeah.
Well, I mean.
Tim Drake told us that Batwoman betrays them all.
That doesn't necessarily mean she went bad. It may just mean
bad is a subjective term, but.
I agree. Yeah. But that's, you know.
She's going to become a douche at some point.
Bad like Adam?
She has like a goatee now.
Yeah.
So she's the evil.
That's how you know. Yeah. That's how you know.
Which she doesn't have a good, like, run in the future with, like, that and then
the new
one.
Yeah, right. They're just like, how can we make this character seem awful in the future? That's their plan right now.
And, like, without the wig, her hair is kind of odd, but I get it. Except for that Nightwing, the New Order, it's really bad. Like, that weird.
Oh, she's got that, yeah, it's kind of like a 60s, like, what they call that? I forget.
I don't know.
Yeah. Bob. Is that what it's called?
Is that what it is?
I was thinking that.
Okay.
I didn't want to say it.
Why?
Because I thought it was wrong. Good on here.
Like, we have any room to talk?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It was an easy comment.
But then it just falls back on you,
though. It's called witty banter.
I don't like it.
But the Alfred line, I absolutely loved when the first time they're talking and all of a sudden he realizes the pen is missing and that she's there and he goes running off after her. And then the next time he's like,
I'll hide the pencils.
She's back and he goes, I'll hide the pencils. I laughed out loud sitting there and Sandy looked at me like, and I tried to explain it, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
And so it was just, so I'm like, okay, well done. I tweeted to Tom King. I'm like, good job. And then I keep reading, and then you hit the end, and it's just like, oh, God.
Wait, you tried to explain it to Sandy?
Just the why I laughed at the.
She was probably like,
I don't care. Well, wait a second. You're an idiot. You know.
So the whole time.
You're making it worse.
at the beginning of the book, every time she shows up, she gives him a mouse.
Yeah.
At the end of the book, he gives her a cat. You didn't think the stories were linked?
Well, no, but just when I saw Helena, I immediately switched to Earth 2.
Okay.
That's why, just knowing that.
Yeah, but even there, I would say
I know, but
the whole thing took place on Earth 2. Not...
It was a very Batman-looking cat, too. It was like the...
Yeah.
Bat-cat.
Bat-cat, yeah.
Was it in the Super Sons annual?
I hope, not in the future. In a future one, maybe.
Well, it also shows that Batman always has a plan, even after he's dead.
Yeah, but I gotta wonder, how did
five different
the...
futures for Batman right now, though, going on?
Yeah.
How did that cat get there? Like, he was laying in bed dying. So that
Batman.
Cat had to be there for a while.
Because he's Batman.
Damian dropped it off.
Unless he has one of the...
That's another thing. When they were all waiting there, and when he died, certain people weren't there. Like, it's either Tim was there or Damian was there, but I couldn't tell which one would have been which. Dick was there.
Yeah, Dick was there.
Dick was there. I think
Carrie Kelly was
there. Carrie Kelly was there.
I took it. But yeah,
Jason was there.
The one on the far right hand of the panel, I thought was supposed to be Damian.
That's possible.
That kid had like reddish hair though. In the far right,
no,
he looked more like Guy Gardner.
And that would have been Jason. Yeah, but
do you remember that Grant Morrison?
Did
he tried
right
to
here?
Change that whole thing.
Jason is right here.
Oh. Yeah, he did. He had to dye it black so no one knew it was a different Robin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Grant Morrison tried to make a whole thing about that, and when they brought the Red Hood out in his book, when they brought him back, he tried to take that story on, and he made him into this weird bad guy that was like... Well, that's where the girl... He had a Robin that was Professor Pig did the mask to. That they couldn't get it off, so that was his version of a Robin.
Okay.
And it really was bad. Like, and his hair started to turn back red and everything because of the dye.
That wasn't like Grant Mart, because, you know, he dies, obviously, and kind of comes back as a bit of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't like his commentary on Ginger's not having souls, was it?
It's possible.
Yeah, probably.
It's possible.
Kind of messed up.
Yeah, it was a bad take, and they totally went around that in New 52.
It didn't.
That work. Was like right before New 52. That's what the Red Hood character was doing, and then Red Hood and the Outlaws came out, and they were like, "That's not."
Yeah, and that went a completely different direction.
It was
so.
It was a bad idea.
Bad hat,
Harry. That's a bad hat, Harry.
Yep. Next one was Moon Knight.
Yeah, I read it.
Colin, did you read that one?
I did not. I read the first one. I haven't read that one yet.
This one actually had Moon Knight in it.
Yeah, it did.
Quite a bit.
That's good.
And not... So where he's, in the past, tried to suppress his different personalities, they were all on full display, and they were actually different versions of Moon Knight. You know, kind of each with their own fighting style, and, like... You know, when he wanted to be really brutal, he would lift the mask up a little bit, and it was Jake. And he stabbed one guy in the eyes with the crescent, like, batarangs or moonarangs. I think he was actually...
I don't think they're called moonarangs. Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but yeah. I wouldn't go with that name.
Trademark DC?
No. Yeah, orangs might get you in trouble. So. Speaking now.
So... Going back to Detective Chimp, I see. It was good. While that's going on, Ra, who the sun god that we met in the first issue, he's looking for Bushmaster, and then finally finds him at the end of the book. Who he almost at first I thought he was Barracuda from the Punisher run. I was like, no, that's. It has to be Bushmaster because Barracuda doesn't have a link.
Yeah.
But it was good. It's. I was a little concerned with how the first issue went. You know how they would kind of address everything and bring Moon Knight in. You know, would he play a big role in it? It's he will.
So how's that book? Is it sticking to any like? Marvel stories at all that are outside of that book?
Nope. Not yet. But that's what happened the last two Moon Knight runs.
Yeah.
There's been quite
a few Moon Knight runs over the years.
Well,
there was the main one, then there were a couple miniseries, then there was the Mark Spector one, went probably the longest of any of them. And then I think...
From 2011 on, they never touched anything inside the main Marvel Universe.
Yeah, there was the Charlie Houston run, then Bendis did two runs. Never understood why they... Or at least he did... No, I'm pretty sure he did two runs.
Did he do the one when the personalities were different?
I think that was the run that really hooked me on the character. Because that was just so different than anything else.
People, I started reading a little bit of that run, and I didn't finish it. Somebody was letting me borrow it, like, when it first came out. And it was decent. It's a cool character. It's a cool concept.
But
for a character.
I definitely like the insight they were going on with the different personalities and stuff like that. And the art was really good in it, too.
Yeah.
And I liked, they brought him in during Heroic Age. As part of the Secret Adventures.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I really liked that run. That was Ed Brubaker started that book, and then that's when everything started to collapse into itself, because that book just... It had a good concept, and then they kind of...
Squandered it.
Well, it was basically Captain America who... Captain America running, like, a Black Ops team because he didn't want to be out there as much after he came back from the dead. And they kind of didn't stick with it. Then Ed Brubaker left, and it was just the downfall started to happen.
Well, then Ellis took over that, and then Ellis also then started the next Moon Knight run. Then it turned into Cullen Bunfest, and then started Bunfest. Again with Lemire.
Well, Wood was in one of those, too. He did it, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was Wood followed. Wood followed Ellis, and then it was Cullen Bunn. Everybody's favorite.
He writes everything. He has to be your favorite. If you read comic books, you read Colin Bunn. You have to.
It's a rule.
It's in his contract.
I feel like he's writing a lot less now than he used to.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time.
I know he just stopped Monsters Unleashed. He got off that.
He did, which is weird, or Marvel stopped it.
Well, the main character is based on his son, so that's always a little odd. But yeah, his Unsound, I think. Was it Unsound he was doing? I think that was him. But isn't he doing Dark Ark? Isn't that Cullen Bunn?
Yep.
He's also doing Harrow County.
I don't mind.
And then he's doing X-Men Blue.
Blue, yeah.
I don't mind it when they name them after their own kids.
Not like name, if but it's like character based on.
Like, I liked with Jeff Loeb naming, like, the character after his son who passed and that whole thing. But
his son's still alive, I think. Pretty sure.
Jeff Johns.
Cullen Bunn.
Stargirl and his sister.
Yeah. Sister, yeah. She passed away. You know what? Which one was it?
Jeff Johns.
Yeah, she died on a
plane crash.
Yeah. So.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was the TWA flight that blew up. Like right on takeoff at LaGuardia.
Oh wow!
That's who he based the whole entire character off of.
And the last book I read was Dark Ark.
I read that.
Yeah. So it looks like the dark creatures are they're going to take over the Ark, or it seems that way. The vampires. We're kind of corrupting the other creatures in order to control them. But it was like they were hiding their bite marks so they didn't know they were being bit.
Yeah.
The unicorns ratted them out, so the unicorns are going to die.
I love the unicorns in this, their character in this book.
It's...
Going to let that one go.
He's allowed to like unicorns if he wants. Man.
So close-minded.
It's his birthday, Colin.
Yeah.
Why do you want me to pick on Dave?
Yeah.
What'd Dave ever do?
I know.
Yeah.
Hate you guys.
Like, you know, we're pretty good at that. He says like one thing and we're just like... And it's not that bad.
I'm just going to sit here coloring my bag.
I didn't get one of those. I got a yellow one.
I'm sorry.
I got one.
I got one too.
I did too. You were singled out, Josh.
For some reason, mine says I hate Josh on it. I don't know why, but...
Oh, that's Josh Smith cancel.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, so...
That was still the best thing.
So, Dark Ark.
Last week, that
was awesome. It was good. I liked that the... you know, part of the story is a murder mystery. I wasn't expecting that.
No. I don't know. Is this supposed to be an ongoing or just a mini? It feels like it has to be a mini, though.
It kind of feels like it, yeah. I'm not sure.
Like, I mean, the flood only lasted 40 days. How long can they be on the damn boat?
I know. That's what I was wondering, if it's going to all take place on the boat or... It's going to continue when the waters finally recede.
Well, that's just it. But when the waters finally recede, I get the fact that they're mythical creatures. However, just taking it at face value, they wouldn't all stay in one spot. They would go off and you know, do whatever.
Yeah, it depends on what mythology they're from.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, no, you know, the Jersey Devil would go to Jersey, and you know,
there's stories to be told. I don't know if it can be called a lot of Greek myth.
Isn't there a manticore on the cover of one of them?
Yeah.
Go to Greece.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Probably a couple chupacabra in there that we're unaware of. Like my guess is they kill off the unicorns.
Yeah, or they go to some place magical.
It seems like they're telegraphing that. Yeah.
Or they go to Hogwarts.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain ones that are going to go just to Hogwarts. And a few that go along with them, even from the others, like a few manticore are going to be like, yeah. Or they'll hear about it later on.
Gryffindor.
Basilisk, you know. Like, we'll go there too.
So, yeah.
We got our own book here.
I know.
Now we're starting the sequel.
Dark Ark Part 2.
Dark Ark 2.
So, that's all I read.
Lynn, couple other ones left for me. X-Files, JFK Disclosure number 2.
Is that the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's only a 2-part.
Did they solve it?
They solved it.
Yeah, it turned out he was killed.
Well, they give you the reason he was killed.
Was it the comedian?
The boy. Well, it's this guy Sacco is telling Fox Mulder this, that he worked with Fox Mulder's dad in this conspiracy, and it involves alien ray guns and Fidel Castro and the Bay of Pigs. But the reason JFK was...
Sounds like
was,
Rough Riders.
Yeah, but I don't, you can't trust a guy named Sacco.
Yeah.
But the reason JFK was killed is because he was going to reveal that the aliens landed in Roswell, New Mexico, and the government was co-opting the military industrial complex was co-opting the alien technology. But it wasn't that great. There wasn't really a story here. It's just conspiracy theory heaped upon conspiracy theory.
It turned out that they had the unicorn. They were harvesting the unicorn. Yeah.
It was the unicorn.
And that's the crossover. And Dark Ark was.
The unicorns killed JFK.
X-Files.
But the art by this... The art was really...
Oh, that was Menton 3 or whatever.
Menton
yeah.
to the third power. Menton cubed. Was really... has that dual Sienkiewicz influence. But it was really nice. He did a good job with not much of a story to to work off of. I mean, it's kind of disappointing. They could have done... It's X-Files. They could have done something a little bit bigger with it.
And IDW is keeping those, a lot of their franchises going, too, that they have. Which I'm kind of impressed by. It seems like they, like IDW has that just select niche market that people, there's certain people that are going to go to buy them, and that'll keep them going enough. You know, like Star Trek or X-Files and stuff like that. I've always found their plan of kind of interesting of how they purchase these characters.
And also mentioned Kill or Be Killed. Number 14 by Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips. This is the end of the third arc, and this sees Dylan infiltrating a Russian brothel and killing 4 people. And he leaves his coat there with a note that lists the addresses of the other brothels, so the Russians know that he knows where they are, and they double their security so he can get into the Russian mob boss's estate and confront him.
That'd be perfect time to open up a Russian brothel. You shut that one down, now they all got to go to the other one. Just saying.
So, after all this is over, Dylan kind of thinks he could get back his regular life, but the voice in the back of his head, not the demon, just the voice in his head, is telling him, you know, how can he go back to doing nothing and letting this evil in the world win all the time? He's a really really deranged guy, and written very well, and there's a great cliffhanger. It kind of turns the tables on Dylan, so he sees things in this whole demon thing he's dealing with in a new light. So
when he, I gotta go back to the brothel. Did he kill the women, or did he just kill the John?
No,
the
first time he said that. No, not the women. Not the women. No. Just the Russian mobster guys.
Okay, all right.
No, not the women. No.
All right, cause, I mean, you know, he killed the hoes.
No, he didn't do that. He wouldn't do that. No,
that'd have been wrong.
No. And that's all I got.
That's all you got. Did any of you read Sword of Ages?
How was that?
I liked it a lot.
Was it?
Yeah, so this was story and art by Gabriel Rodriguez. I first saw his work on Lock and Key. He did the art on that. Joe Hill wrote that series. But no, it was a cool like sci-fi slash fantasy book. Like it starts off like I thought it was gonna be straight up fantasy, but the book starts off with this like family in this spaceship, and it looks like they are about to like have this, you know, battle, but then we find out that they are trying to hide out on this planet and make it look like they were killed in battle. And this the planet they're over has this giant like squid kind of monster like in space above it. So they think that, you know, even though it's peaceful, maybe people will believe that that thing attacked their ship, and that's what how they died. And on the ship, it looked like a guy and his wife and their young son, and the wife is pregnant, and they're saying they're going to hide out on the planet, and the planet will have everything that they need to survive. And then, flash forward a bit, we see, like, this young toddler, and then some panels, like, as the toddler's, like, you know, growing up, and there's someone narrating that they, you know, kind of, like, found this toddler and raised the child to be, like, one of their own. And you find out that it's this, like saber-toothed tiger, like, creature who's narrating and can talk. And you find out, like, all these creatures and animals seem to be able to talk on this planet. And the tiger has raised this child as if it's her own. The child calls the tiger mother. But during certain seasons, the child goes away with some, you know, other human to these, like, white monks. And these monks are training the kid to fight and in the ways of humans. And after that quick, like, flash forward, then we find out that the girl has to go off with the guy that's been taking her to get her trained, because she looks like she's been called or invited to by these monks. She's not really sure what's going on. So they go off, and her mother, the tiger, is warning her, like, you know, don't go. You can't, you know, trust the ways of the humans, and, you know, you should stay here with us. But she goes off, and we found out that several people were invited, and it looks like there's some sort of demonic or alien force that could be threatening the planet, and you're getting these flashes to some other event going on where someone has a sacred sword, and it looks like they're communing with these different titans or guardians of this planet. One of them is the giant monster you saw in the very beginning, and it looks like they're preparing for some sort of big threat, and that's what it looks like this group is being put together for, that where everyone's invited, these very skilled and renowned fighters. But it was good. It had a lot of, like, little hints of, like, Arthurian legend in it, which was kind of neat. The art was fantastic. The story was neat, having that sci-fi and fantasy mix. It was definitely, like, drew you in very quickly. I liked it a lot. I would recommend checking it out. Cool. Yeah. Did you read it, Colin?
I did not. I took it home, but I didn't get it read.
And then the only other one that I'll mention, well, I'll mention two other ones. I didn't get to read all of this, but the New Talent Showcase that came out. It was okay, what I read so far. It felt like, I think I read half of it. The stories I read so far felt like the writers who were doing these short stories didn't quite have a full grasp, like, on the voice of the characters that they were writing about. Like, some of the characters just seemed a bit off.
Okay.
None were bad that I read so far. The art was fine.
Yeah, but even, like, Tom King, when he took over Batman, it took him a couple issues to find
I'm not saying, like, it was terrible, these guys suck.
No, yeah. But, I mean, I think that's pretty typical, you know, if they've never written a character before, they got to find the voice.
Just saying, like, it was, you know, didn't seem like a perfect fit initially. Although, I did think the one story that featured Katana was pretty good. They did a good job capturing Waller and capturing Katana's individual, like, personalities, for the most part. But no, I still think it's worth picking up. I like these books where they show off new talent, where it's not just, you know, perpetually the old guard, where they try and give a platform to some new up-and-coming creators. So in that respect, I think it's definitely worth it. Just, I think, I don't see any of these people immediately, like, be able to jump onto a high-profile book right away. And Attorney number 2. I think I'm the only person reading that. But that's the the continuing within the Divinity family of books on Valiant. So in the previous issue, Divinity and Mishka, you know, they are together. I believe they're married. They've had a child, and the child was kidnapped by these aliens. And we find out that the child was kidnapped to replace this person who's called the Observer, who was killed in the first book. And we find out he was killed by a human weapon. Like, look, it was a bullet, and we're not sure, you know, why he was killed or who killed him. But they, prophecy says that he should be replaced with this child, so they stole the child, kidnapped the child, and are about to conduct this ceremony and possibly sacrifice this kid and anoint him as the new Observer. And just through doing that, another faction storms in, stops the ceremony, steals the kid from them, and all at the same time, Divinity and Mishka are trying to track down where this kid's at and go to these outer reaches of the galaxy to get their son back. It looks like the two factions are kind of polar opposites. Like, the one focuses on the future, and the future is set in stone, and what's going on in the present or past doesn't really matter. The other group focuses more on the past, and the future's not written yet, and their actions in the present and the past are the most important thing in learning from it. Hopefully they develop, you know, that a bit more, like the backstory to those two factions. But it's been a good series so far. It fits right in with the other Divinity books. The art's fantastic. A lot of really neat and crazy and unique alien worlds and structures and creatures. It's been good. If you've been a fan of Divinity or a fan of like real sci-fi books, I would definitely recommend checking out the Divinity 1-3 miniseries and also Attorney. That's it.
Spencer, go ahead.
Green Arrow Annual.
I didn't get to it yet.
It's kind of like a holiday kind of issue, set during Christmas time. Count Vodico is, I forget, through some kind of device, is able to, like, mind control everybody in the city, including Oliver and, like, the rest of the team, and they're each having, like, their kind of almost, like, worst-case scenario of what could happen during Christmas. But it affects everybody except Black Canary, because from, something to do with, like, with her ears being, like, kind of sensitive from the sonic screaming throughout the years, whatever Count Vodico is using to, to mind control everybody doesn't affect her. So she's the one who has to end up saving the day, you know, by the end of it, which was a pretty good issue. But basically, it's just nice standalone story for the annual. The Hal Jordan Green Lanterns.
Didn't get that either.
Basically, just a start of a new story arc. You get to see the new Kid Lantern from, I can't think of the race, but with that Tamaran, whatever race he's from. Those,
maybe,
like,
I did read this.
Tamaran.
Is it
Tomar Ray type?
Tomar Ray, yeah. Tamaran, is that the name of the race?
No, Tamaran is where Starfire's from.
Okay, so the guy who kind of looks like a bird guy. You get to see her, or that kid, training a little bit with the Guardians, and
is that the kid from, there was an issue going,
yeah,
back.
It is. Were they going to the future, yeah. And he, yeah, at least that's who I figured it was. And then Hal and Kyle are out on a mission to help evacuate this city on some far off planet. I think there's like a lava explosion or something, and there's this cool moment where Hal is trying to, you know, talk Kyle out of this slump because he's in a bad mood because of what happened with Sinestra's daughter.
Better name.
Yeah.
Does it start with an A?
No.
It's
just an S.
Anyway, I always want to say it's Salak, and I know it isn't, because that's the protocol guy.
Yeah.
The giant head.
But,
Sarnak?
Sarnak,
They're yelling
at Sornak.
Us. Sornak.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah. Sornak, not too.
And, so, after, you know, Hal gives him his little, like, you know, you need to kind of, like, you know, get over it and stuff like that. And because Kyle's just doing these very basic, you know, things with his rings, not any elaborate, you know, kind of just here's a block to help make a wall to stop it. And then so Kyle's like, so have you talked to Coral yet? And Hal's just like, let's just focus on the wall here and getting these people out of here. But,
anything else happened?
Build that wall.
But that was basically, like I said, start of a story arc, and then, X-Men Blue, it seems like they're having young Cyclops and this Bloodstorm, who's like a vampire Storm from an alternate universe, having, like, it seems like they're kind of hinting at them having a relationship, which seems kind of creepy to me, because, like, the Bloodstorm is, like, a full-grown adult, and Cyclops is still, like, a teenager. But, whatever, but the majority of the issue is them trying to time travel again to get back to their own time. But, of course, it goes wrong, and it ends with them in 2099... up against the X-Men from 2099.
Oh, that's
cool. So,
well, everybody was wanting to see them again.
Yeah, you know. But that was basically it for that issue, and then since it was such a short week, I was able to grab the whole run of the Briggs Land Lone Wolf. No, I won't get into it because you guys have been talking about it, but just that I really liked it. I thought it was a pretty good series. Hope they do more of it. That's
awesome.
About,
yeah, it's really good. Hope there's, I'm sure there'll be a third part.
Hopefully yeah, I hope
a
so.
Third miniseries. Yeah.
How sure are you?
I bet my life on it, Josh.
Ooh,
oh, wow.
Damn.
He just collapses, and we're like, oh, no!
But it was his birthday.
His birthday, and we're not getting that third part. Fuck.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, Josh.
Wow.
And Molly McGee.
Okay, well, to follow that up, I read Mystic U.
I read that. I read about that.
That was fun. It started with everything is going horribly wrong. Well, no.
It was fun. They're all dead.
No, but it starts off something's gone everywhere. Horribly wrong.
The malevolence.
Someone has been malevolence.
Malevolence. Yeah.
Someone has betrayed them. And then all of a sudden it goes, I forget how long prior.
Yeah, I forget, because it looked like it suddenly jumped to the very beginning of her.
Yeah, so it was like 5 years earlier,
yeah.
And it's basically all these students are starting at this new school for magic. And it's
she just discovers her powers.
Right.
And accidentally sends her father to hell.
Right. And this woman with a horrible name, like Roach. Professor Psychic. Or something.
Dr. Psychic
is there. And turns out she's the headmistress of this school, so she takes Zatanna there. And it's basically everyone there is a child of a famous sorcerer. So you had Sargon's son. You had, I forget who all they were. Zatanna.
You had
Doctor Strange's son.
Enchantress.
Yeah, the Enchantress who really didn't fit that. At all, but it's interesting because she keeps changing throughout
all,
the book.
Like,
no, but a lot of them were.
You mean
like
Dr.
Sargon's
Frank, like,
kid
or...
was the son of Sargon the Sorcerer.
Yeah, I think there's only like two. Or
oh,
three
was it though. Okay?
Because like that one kid Joe who had the cowboy hat, he just went home like his mom. Like
that's true.
Did you mean
house,
Dr. Fate?
No.
Oh.
I thought you said Dr. Strange. So
I
was
did
joking.
Say Dr. Strange.
Yeah, so I was joking along with Pat. Pay attention.
To your mistake. No.
But so you're kind of getting to know them. They're getting to know one another. Enchantress is interesting because her appearance keeps changing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Not like normal Enchantress appearance.
No. Just different.
So like Betty to Veronica and back and forth.
And it was just, it was interesting. All of a sudden, this thing shows up, and they're like,
Snot Monster.
Snot Monster shows up, and everybody thinks it's attacking when it's not really attacking.
Thought it ate the Cowboy Hat Kid.
But Cowboy Hat Kid just ran away and left his hat. So it was good.
They're on edge because they overhear a conversation between the headmistress, that Dr. Psychic, and other heads of the school, like her and Mr. E. And they're saying that one of the students is going to become this malevolence. So they say it has to be one of these five new students, and it ends with them saying they're going to kill all of them.
Dun dun dun.
So
Frankenstein is teaching a class.
Makes sense.
But it wasn't drawn by.
No.
Doug Mankey. So
no, it was like Frankenstein wearing business casual with sleeves ripped off at a chalkboard.
He at least had the leather patches on his elbows.
What? It wasn't leather.
Leather's just skin.
That's true. It wasn't cow leather. So that was, it was interesting. I mean, I'm definitely going to keep going because it's only three
issues every other month. Yeah. So.
And it's oversized. I think it's a $6 book.
Yeah.
And then
I don't think it was $6.
Was it?
No, I think it was maybe $5.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was $6.
Then the only other one I read was Chasing Hitler, #1. Just I was intrigued. But sadly,
it's something like Chasing Amy, is it?
Yeah, it's the
same. I already made that joke, Spencer.
Yeah, it's actually the prequel.
Trying to get with Hitler.
It's like he's Hitler. Yeah. He's a Nazi.
But it was the Easter Bunny. No.
And Hitler.
Oh,
that's issue 2. But basically, sadly, the solicit for it basically gave away the entire issue where these two Allied soldiers are sent to go in to collect the remains, and Hitler's not there. Well, that's basically the entire book, was Hitler. Now, granted, it was a little more of Hitler and the great act they did, showing that they weren't actually killing themselves, and they brought in two people and shot them and posed them as them, and then they snuck out, and then it ends with the two servicemen coming in and going,
Hitler,
that's
Ava
not
Braun.
Hitler. So, what?
Ava Braun.
Yes.
Is this basically the story of them ending up in Brazil?
That's my guess. So I was intrigued by it because it was
Argentina.
It was co-written by Jay Nitz, who's doing Fujitsu, and someone else, another Nitz, so I don't know if it's daughter or wife. Can't keep a track of the Nitz. And so I was intrigued. It was okay. It wasn't great. It's by a little company called Red 5. Who did some interesting stuff. They were the first ones to do Atomic Robo. But it was okay. The art wasn't anything to write home about, and the story was okay. But there was no surprises, because it was like, okay, I knew this was going to be happening. So it was fine. Nothing too exciting. So Pittsburgh Mime or Pittsburgh Momenschanz? That's where I got thrown off. I'm going to have to figure out how to spell that, though.
I like Momenschanz. I don't know if anybody would get the reference.
That's okay. I don't care. It's my podcast.
Okay, well, there you go.
So, well, Josh left, so Josh doesn't get to say anything more. He's bad. But.
So, what's coming out next week, Colin?
Stuff.
Things.
Books.
Do you want me to read it out loud?
Yes, please.
Any question?
Yes. Action Comics 993, which should be the start of the next arc, because the last one was the epilogue.
Awesome,
that was something. So this is going to be starting off the story of Booster trying to, I guess, find Superman or whatever that was. So that was fun. I really enjoyed the end of that issue. Amazing Spider-Man should be a tie-in to the Venom Inc.
Yep.
Storyline that came out today. All my shelf copies were damaged. I have replacements coming. Hopefully next week. I'm not 100% positive. Just for Dave, we have Archie's Christmas Spectacular, because I know Dave's going to be excited about that.
And it's spectacular.
And for the Valiant fans, we have...
real and spectacular.
And it's only $3, I think.
It is. Yes. Bloodshot Salvation #4.
Yay.
I heard something.
It was... it was Ric Flair.
That was not a Ric Flair one.
No.
we also
false alarm.
A book called Giants, This is a Dark Horse book. And basically, this ancient race of giants reappears and sends all the humans hiding underground to avoid them.
They went to Hogwarts.
That's Attack on Titan.
Grave Trancers is a new number one.
Just explain.
I do not know who that's from. Sorry. I like this one. JSA by Jeff Johns, Trade Paperback Volume 1. Just nice this is coming out collected. And hopefully it's also a little signal that JSA might be coming back. So, new one from Boom is Judas, which is basically the story of Judas. We do have, I have some Marvel calendars coming in next week now. I only have 25.
They're not swimsuits, are they?
They're not. but I only have 25, so first
Well,
come,
if you give one to anybody who buys a...
I don't know, I just hope they spell calendar right on the front this year.
Yeah,
just whoever buys a Marvel book will get one.
It'll I'll have, might have a couple, yeah.
I guess I won't get one.
Mr. Miracle number 5. Nobody's liking that. Monstro Mechanica. This is... Darn it. I think this is from Oni. But I know they've
Tom
been...
Tom King just tuned back
they've
in
been
the
pushing, they've been pushing this
one. One more check.
Aftershock.
Aftershock, okay. So they've been pushing this one hard. Yeah. Port of Earth number 2. I know I really like number 1, and people seem to have been enjoying that
I
one.
Also like number 1.
Good, good. Yeah. Rumble number 1. This is a... kind of restarting, continuing a prior story they had been doing about this ancient god of war that has come back. Sorry, lots of sales stuff, so lots of... Well, that sounds awesome. Sorry, Storytime with Batman softcover box set. So it sounds like a perfect thing to end up under a tree.
Not just any tree, a Christmas.
Well, a Christmas tree. And then the last one just to point out is Wicked and Divine Christmas Annual, which has an awesome... Bad Christmas sweater cover. So that is what is coming next week.
That's pretty cool.
The book club book is Happy, which I believe starts tonight, or if you're listening tomorrow, which you can't be listening today. Will have been last night. No, I thought about it. That would be so cool if we could stream this live.
We could.
Yeah, we could. That's going to be Friday, December 29th. We're doing the Happy trade paperback. Real short, quick one. $12.99, although the one with the fancy cover with Christopher Maloney, the photo cover, is $14.99 with some extra stuff.
I would not call it the fancy cover.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I have a pet peeve about books that exist first and then are turned into a TV show or movie, and then they republish the book with the
like
cover image from
like
the TV
show. Like that Green Lantern origin book that they brought out. Mm-hmm. It was Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And I was like, who's going to buy this
nuts.
Now? Mm-hmm.
Now, at least that's just like a special edition version.
Yeah.
It really pisses
me
off.
That was the only one you
when that's like the only one you can buy is the version that has the TV or movie cover.
Mm-hmm. Crave.
And then this month is Star Wars month, so double points on all Star, because apparently there's some movie coming out in a week that some people are going to see. I think I'm going to skip it.
Sooner or later.
Coco?
Yeah.
It's already
out. No. So it's Star Wars month, so until we get a Jar Jar one-shot, I'm boycotting still. Or I'd say a mini.
Talk to
Maxi
Mark.
Series.
Yeah.
Maxi series.
He's not doing nothing right
Don't
now.
Rip my wall down, Pat.
I'm not ripping your wall down. All that stands is the plywood. Just like, and you said it was crooked.
Mouse
nice to my,
knocked that down.
Be nice to my poor store.
Hey, we didn't drive through it. Though.
Adam stopped it.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't have been for Adam, he would have taken out your neighbors, too.
She. So you can... That's all we got. So you can find the store, websites, PittsburghComics.com, Facebook, Pittsburgh Comics, Instagram, and Twitter are PGH Comics. Please try out the Comic Hub app. We're all learning on this one, so we're going to figure it out. I just think it has a lot of possibilities. I've heard a lot of people saying they're struggling with it a little bit, which I understand because I really haven't played with it much either.
It has some great functionality. It's just very rough. Around
yeah,
the edges.
Yeah, so we'll get there on that, hopefully. Just the more feedback I can give, the better. So, I think that's all we got. And I'm going to ask the birthday boy to say it this week.
It's been so long. I almost forgot. That's the podcast.
Man, being critical. What a jerk.
Okay, we will... We will talk to you next week. See ya.